Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, we're in that season of year in the Jewish calendar when lots of holidays come up, and a lot of our Jewish friends, whether here in the United States or around the world, in Israel or throughout the diaspora, are celebrating the holidays this fall. And the first one that comes up on the calendar, the first major one that comes up on the calendar, is called Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. And so that means the head of the year. And so this is the beginning of the year, and also the beginning of the holiday season in the fall, as three holidays come up right in a row. And so we'll be highlighting these on Eagles on the Hill at various times. So just to kind of help us be informed, because our Christian faith comes out of Scripture, of course, obviously, I hope you know that. But it comes out of Jewish roots. And so many of the holidays that are part of the Jewish calendar, Jewish year, were there in part to be fulfilled in the Messiah, in Jesus. And so Rosh Hashanah is not necessarily one of those, but we'll talk about why that is in a moment. But parts of it are fulfilled in Christ. We'll talk about that too. So without any further ado or more on that, let's look into the scriptures and see where Rosh Hashanah comes from. And you'll probably note, or you might know, it's not in the scriptures, but here's what the scriptures do say. And this is where the holiday comes from. Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." All right, so that is the genesis, if you will, of Rosh Hashanah. And you'll notice that Rosh Hashanah, the name is not there, but that's where Rosh Hashanah comes from. It is a trumpet blast. Leviticus 23, verse 24. We're going to talk more about those trumpet blasts in a moment. But it is a holiday where the shofar is blown, various different ways the shofar is blown. But that's where Rosh Hashanah comes from, is this passage here in Leviticus. It was not called that in the Bible. It's called the Feast of Trumpets, if you will, because the trumpets play such an important part of this. But let's look how, in Leviticus 23, how it relates to the other holidays coming up. By the way, let me say this too about verse 24. It says it's a day of Sabbath rest, but it's not always on the Sabbath. It's not always on Shabbat, on Saturday. But it mirrors what you do on Shabbat, on Sabbath. So if it happens on a Wednesday, it's still a day of Sabbath rest. All right, so this first day of the seventh month, you have a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. That's what we know today as Rosh Hashanah. And then verse 26, the Lord said to Moses, "The tenth day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement." So there we go. So you count 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to get to the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. "Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day, because it is the Day of Atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God." So the Day of Atonement, we'll see in 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, is the day when the high priest, the one day a year when the high priest goes into the tabernacle, goes into the temple, and goes into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the people. So we'll get to that in another video. All right, Leviticus 23, verse 29. "Those who do not deny themselves on that day must be cut off from their people. I will destroy from among their people anyone who does any work on that day." So that's a pretty strong command with a pretty strong consequence. "You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for generations to come wherever you live. It is a day of Sabbath rest for you, and you must deny yourselves from the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening. You are to observe your Sabbath." Again, it's not always on Sabbath, but you observe a Sabbath. Then, after that, verse 33, the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Festival of Tabernacles begins and lasts for 7 days. This is called Sukkot. We'll get to that in other podcasts as well. This first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work for 7 days. Present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day, hold a sacred assembly, etc., etc. Verse 37, these are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for bringing food offerings to the Lord, the burnt offerings and the grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings required for each day. So we'll get to those other holidays later, Sukkot and Yom Kippur. The end of Sukkot became very important on October the 7th of 2023, if you remember what happened in that day. We'll talk about that in a future podcast, all right? We're going to go back now and focus on Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of these three festivals on the first day of the seventh month. And really, the month prior to this, the month of Elul, is a month of preparing for what happens on Rosh Hashanah. So what's Rosh Hashanah about? It's about a couple of things. One is the blowing of the shofar, the blowing of the trumpet. And how do we see that reflected in Jesus in the New Testament? Well, when Jesus returns, how does the New Testament describe that time? The trumpet will sound, and the Son of Man will descend from heaven on the clouds of heaven. So where the New Testament sees fulfillment in the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, is on the last day, when the trumpet is blown and Jesus returns for his second coming. That's in part where it sees that fulfillment. Interestingly enough, another piece of modern-day Jewish celebration of this Feast of Trumpets, the Rosh Hashanah, the Happy New Year kind of thing, is the particularly eating of certain foods. Jews always have foods they eat with various festivals, and this one's no exception. The major food that is eaten is apples dipped in honey, so very sweet, about the sweetness of the New Year. And lots of other foods as well. We'll talk about that in a moment, but that's kind of a key food. And the characteristic of that food is the sweetness of the New Year. So picture Jesus, the trumpet, the last trumpet sounds, and the Son of Man returns in glory. And what is our life like in that new year, in that new place? It is, well, it is more sweet than I can possibly imagine. And so I don't know if we'll have apples dipped in honey. Maybe we'll have chocolate chip cookies, who knows? But something sweet will greet us there in the new heavens and the new earth when the trumpet is blown on the last day. I found a little short video, 4-minute video on YouTube. We'll see if this all passes the test, but that will help us understand from a particular modern day Jewish perspective about this holiday. So let's take a look, shall we?
Rosh Hashanah is the start of a new year in the Jewish calendar and a moment to take stock of your soul. Unlike January 1st, it's serious stuff. It's said that on this day, God takes special note of us and our behaviors, writing us into the book of life. It's time for reflection. Where have you missed the mark? How can you grow and improve yourself this year? Where do you need to seek forgiveness? The last line of the poem read on Rosh Hashanah, the Unatana Tokef, is a super concise guide to how we start the new year off right. Teshuvah and Tefillah and Tzedakah. Teshuvah and Tefillah and Tzedakah. Let's break those down. Tshuva, the word for spiritual realignment, comes from a Hebrew root that means return. It gets translated usually as repentance. It's more like remembering who you truly are and striving to return there. Rosh Hashanah is actually a step along in the process of Teshuva, which starts a month earlier on the 1st of Elul and then kicks into high gear with the high holidays. Rosh Hashanah is 2 days long. It's full of food, prayer, and some creative rituals. Its name means head of the year, and has a lot of other names too. The meals are a big deal. Dinners and lunches. Most memorable is the blessing over apples dipped in honey for a sweet new year. You'll also see round challahs, sometimes with raisins, honey cake, sweet foods like honey carrots, kugels, tzimis. Plus, some people have a tradition of eating new fruits. A fiesta of things to taste for the first time in the new year. Sephardi Jews have a Rosh Hashanah Seder, including foods with names that are puns in Hebrew. For instance, the head of a fish gives you an excuse to say, so that we may be like the head and not the tail. It's like saying, get your head in the game. When you see people on Rosh Hashanah at synagogue or on the street, you can shout out Shana Tova or Shana Tova, which just means have a good year. Speaking of synagogue, if you go, you'll encounter a lot of special liturgy in a book called the Holiday Machzor. This is Tefillah, connecting through prayer. A highlight for many is singing the beloved melody, Avinu Malkeinu. You also hear the Torah stories of Abraham and Sarah, Hagar and Ishmael, and the famous Binding of Isaac story. And you'll hear the sounding of the shofar, Tokia, that's the one little one. Then Shivarim, that's a threefer. And then there's Truah, and that's like a machine gun. And then the long one, Gadola, comes from Gadol, which means big. And it's long. And then everyone sings, it's unbelievable. You're going to love it. You should really just come out and check it out anyway. If you're going to come once a year, might I recommend Shabbat, though? It's a much easier time to get through. I'm just saying, I'm not here to push a narrative or an agenda, but Shabbat's fun. In the Torah, hearing the cries from a ram's horn is a key mitzvah, or commandment, of Rosh Hashanah. The 100 shofar blasts, there are three types, are meant to arouse and to awaken each person. There's a beautiful daytime ritual that is very engaging for kids called tashlich. People toss breadcrumbs into a nearby body of water to symbolically cast away old habits and mistakes. Rosh Hashanah is also a time of year to consider how to do more tzedakah, justice in the world, through community projects, taking a stand on important issues, or giving charity, say after the high holiday appeal to your synagogue. At the new year, we turn the pages of our own life's book, be it tattered, torn, or terrific. Rosh Hashanah is an auspicious moment in time that invites us to wonder, what's the next chapter in my life all about? Truah! And then the big one, Tekiya Gedola!
All right, so there you go. Hopefully that gives you some idea of what your Jewish neighbors, friends, are celebrating at this time of year as they get into this time of high holy days. Rosh Hashanah is a celebration. Sukkot is a celebration in the middle. Yom Kippur, not so much a celebration as a very, 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 the most solemn day of the Jewish year. And we're coming into all of those as we head into the fall. Very typical for Jews. All right. I hope that is helpful to you in not only understanding Jewish neighbors and friends, but also understanding a little bit, just a wee bit, about how Jesus fulfills Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, other holidays like Yom Kippur, Sukkot, much more fulfillment of Jesus in those holidays. Those are specifically and really more prominent in the biblical holiday system of holidays for Jews, for Israelites in the Old Testament. Rosh Hashanah is kind of just the start of the whole thing. So hopefully that's helpful to you today. Thanks for listening. We encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought about this episode or other things you'd like us to be covering as we go through different topics of Christian faith and Christian life. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.